Nice turnaround. Okay, let's move to communications items, please, Carla. Item 44.
Request of Catherine Harrington to address council to thank the city and commission for efforts to provide a network of pedestrian and bicycle facilities.
Good morning, Catherine. We normally wouldn't make an elected official wait except for that.
Not a problem at all. We're all very proud of them. Mr. Mayor, commissioners, good morning. My name is Catherine Harrington. While I am an elected member of the Metro Council, your regional government, I'm here today speaking as an individual. I come before you as a motorist to say thank you. Very simple message. I live in the city of Beaverton. Generally, I commute by car into the city of Portland to the Metro building on Grand Avenue 3 days a week, Tuesday through Thursday. Yes, I am a motorist. I'm very thankful for the investments that the city of Portland has made in solutions that make me feel comfortable and safe as a motorist. Specifically, solutions that make people riding bicycles more visible and those that make people walking more visible. Green boxes, bicycle lanes, boulevards, bicycle signals, sharrows, walk lights, crosswalks, synchronized traffic lights. Each of these solutions contributes to an environment that feels safe and comfortable for all users, including me, the motorist. So thank you. I realize that budget decisions are community investment decisions. I applaud your determined efforts to provide travel choices through a network of walking, bicycling, and vehicular facilities. These investments serve the largest number of people possible so that we can each feel comfortable and safe as we take care of our individual everyday needs for work, for pleasure, for living. As a policymaker, I would also like to acknowledge the leadership that you provide to your colleagues throughout the region. Through your active participation at regional tables, as well as through the deployment of your staff expertise. Examples include the development of the regional Southwest Corridor Plan and the development of the region's first ever active transportation plan, soon to be completed. That plan offers to us new strategies, policy considerations, and project priorities to address the need for a regional network of pedestrian corridors and a regional network of bicycle corridors that each might actually satisfy the demand that exists. I would like to encourage you to stay engaged in these important efforts, as well as with other major regional policy development and planning programs. We need you. Once again, I'm here today with a very simple thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your service as well.
Thanks.
485, request of Silas Covert Keefe to address council regarding Gilbert Place and economic development in East Portland.
Good morning. Welcome.
So how does this work? I've only done this once before.
Oh, you just have give us your name in 3 minutes and pull those microphones back up a little bit, if you would. There you go. That's good.
My name is Silas Covert Keefe. I'm on the board of the Palhurst-Gilbert Neighborhood Association. I'm a community development major at Portland State. I originally wanted to talk about economic development, but recently attended the Neighborhood USA conference in Minneapolis, and I'd rather focus on talking about outreach between the city and East Portland. And I want to start by, do you guys have pens and paper? Okay. I just want to invite you to 3 different events. There's the Palhurst-Gilbert Neighborhood Association board meeting, and that'll be at 7 p.m. on the 10th of June. There's the East Portland Neighborhood board meeting, which is our coalition, and that'll be, I believe, at 7 on the 19th. And then the East Portland Action Plan meeting on the 26th of June, which will, man, that's got to be at 6. I should have wrote down the time, sorry. We would really like to see you. When I was at that conference, it became apparent that there's a lot of different situations that are like East Portland and the city that we face here. And there's a struggle between the people who live on the outskirts of the city and the people who live in the city. And it's not anyone's fault. That's just a result of centralized government. And that's just the way it works. But I think we can really undo some of the problems that are associated with that just by personalizing you guys and having you come to our meetings and being able to meet you and having you come to these things not to give speeches or to talk to us, but just to be as members there so we can see your faces and get to meet you. I know that for myself, because I can't speak for anyone else, living on the fringe kind of makes you feel separate from the people in the city. And most of the time when we get to see you guys, it's at town hall meetings, which may not be the most healthy way of talking all the time, because as a result of not getting to see you very often, when we do get the chance, there's a lot of passion that rises up and sometimes comes out in less than healthy and productive ways. But if we got to see you guys regularly, and not all the time, but at least every now and then at different gatherings we have or different neighborhood association meetings or the EPAP meetings, I think it would go a really long way to build constructive ties between the city and us out there. And that would just be so incredibly helpful. And you can have my 30 seconds. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Well said. Thanks.
486, request of Jim Baker to address council regarding Portland streets.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Jim Baker, and I live at 621 Southwest Burlingame Terrace in Portland. Did you give those? I have a little message for you folks. Portland, Burlingame Terrace is a street that one side of it is connects to Terwilliger, and the other side connects to Burlingame Avenue, and so it's a very short street, very friendly. It's been in existence for a long time, and it is part of Trail 3 of the trail system that we have here for walking. That picture that you have is a beautiful little pothole that I have out in front of my house. And it's aging with me. I mean, we're in pretty good shape together here. And I've been, as I said, I've lived in the house 50 years, and I've seen you folks and your people who came before you, and maybe I'll see a few of them that come later, I don't know. But I've been frustrated from time to time that you folks take actions that I disagree with, and I have never come before you before. But I got to thinking that as long as I'm around, I ought to say something. And if I were to say something, it should be positive. And so I looked at the at this little this pothole, which I believe has a great deal of character. And I thought perhaps we could have a contest in the city where people could send in their pothole pictures, and maybe the Oregonian could show these pictures, and we could have a little contest, and you could present people to form a committee to choose the proper winners. Maybe you could paint the pothole that won, so people could see it. At any rate, I hope you take this in the manner that I presented to you. I think, I wanted to be very positive, and I think you could look at the pothole problem as a positive problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. A very creative suggestion. Thank you. Be the one form of public art that we want to eradicate after we see it. Yeah. It'd be the one form of public art that we want to eradicate after we see it. Yeah. Thank you very much. Okay, Carla.
487, request of Joseph Gordon to address council regarding fetal alcohol syndrome.
Gordon? Is he here? Looks like he may not be here yet. Okay.
488, request of Mary Rose Ng to address council regarding the death of Aaron Schwartz and Aaron's Law.
Mary Rose here. Okay, then I guess we'll want to go ahead and move on to time certain.
The consent agenda first.
Sorry, I did it again. Yes. Now, we have one request, I believe, to pull an item off the consent calendar, which is item 498 has been requested by Parks to have this pulled for some corrections. Are there any other requests to remove items from the consent agenda? If not, then let's take a roll call on the remainder of the agenda, please.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay. Time certain.
Item 489, approval of the fiscal year 2013-14 budget for the City of Portland.
Okay. I am now convening this meeting of the City of Portland Budget Committee. I am opening first a public hearing to discuss possible uses of state revenue sharing. This hearing is being held by the City Council of Portland in compliance with the provisions of state revenue sharing regulations and ORS 221-770. The purpose of the hearing is to allow citizens to comment on the possible use of these funds in conjunction with our annual budget process. As proposed for council adoption, the fiscal year 2013-14 budget anticipates receipts totaling $13,819,575 from state revenue sharing. As has been the case in prior years, it's proposed that this revenue be allocated in equal parts to support fire prevention and police patrol services. So we first have a staff presentation, or maybe just here to answer questions, and then we'll see if there's anyone that wants to be heard. So any questions for staff? Then is there anyone here that wishes to be heard on this particular item on state revenue sharing?
We have three people signed up.
Okay.
Joe Walsh, Lightning, and Christine Yoon. Please come on up.
Come on up.
Is it, Mayor, is it clear to everybody that this is the shared revenue?
Yeah, this is not the budget. This is not the budget itself. So this is only on state revenue sharing. For anyone who's wondering, we're required by state law to do it this way. So, good morning and welcome.
In my name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice, and for us, this is the beginning of the process. We understand this is a committee. You're going to approve it here and then take it to the City Council for approval in a few weeks from now, and I think there'll be some tweaking between now and then. You've heard from, what, thousands of people on this budget? I don't think I can say anything that will change your mind one way or the other.
Joe, can I just mention something? This is shared revenue. We haven't actually put the budget before the public yet, and we're going to take amendments to the budget. So just
I just said that.
Yeah, there will be an opportunity.
I understand this is a committee.
No, but there'll be a separate hearing next on the budget. This
I know,
is only on
for the full council.
No, so for the budget committee. We'll be the budget committee, but the next item on our agenda is the budget itself.
Okay.
So this is only on the subject, on the arcane, narrow subject of state revenue and where we put it.
Okay, it still goes to the question of what you do with the budget when you have a deficit. You have two choices that I know of. Maybe there's some minor other choices, but two main choices. One, you can cut the revenue, and the other one, you can raise revenue. And our contention is that you're going in the wrong direction on both issues. We would like you to look at raising revenue. We have very wealthy corporations in this city that does business in this city. We're asking you to reverse your concept and go after the revenue and stop cutting on the backs of people that can't take very much more. So that's our position. It'll be our position on both issues. Anytime you deal with revenue, we will say to you, you're going in the wrong direction. You're going in the same direction as our Congress. And many of us think our Congress have gone completely mad. And bunch of issues. So we're asking you to reverse your concept and say, okay, is there any way we can raise money? Just like if I was out of money, I might take a part-time job to supplement my income. Figure out where you can get some money from the rich corporations that do business here. You seem to be terrified of them. Call their bluff. They're not going anywhere. This is a really good deal for them. Thank you.
Thanks. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. One of the issues I have is where you want to direct the funding or the money if it's received. And you've stated fire and police. I haven't heard anything on the homeless, anything toward development for the homeless, anything to get 1,500 plus or minus people that are currently sleeping out on the streets, under the bridges, who need housing, who need a place to stay. I haven't heard anything about any of that money being directed toward the homeless. I want to see more money being directed toward the homeless, toward developments such as the Bud Clark Commons, I think is a model unit, not just this state, should be throughout the United States. I think we need to develop more Bud Clark Commons, maybe one on the east side and one also maybe on the northeast side of town. I think you have something there that can work to end homelessness throughout this city. And I really think that some of the funds need to be directed toward the homeless. Thank you.
Thanks. Good morning. You can come back on the budget item if you want. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks. Okay. Anyone else to testify on state revenue sharing? So therefore, I'm going to close the hearing on possible uses of state revenue sharing and open the council. The budget committee discussion of the budget itself. Now, there are a number of changes in front of us. So,
Mayor, I'll make an initial motion to adopt the changes set forth in the May 22nd, 2013 budget memo.
Okay.
Put that on the table.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. So that motion is before us. So we'll take a roll call on the motion to put the, right?
Actually, at this point, we just need the motion and the second.
We don't have to take a roll call on substituting that. Okay.
Right. And at this point, if council desires, I can go ahead and walk through the major changes that were in the change memo that was filed for consideration for this
week.
You
want us to lay all the amendments on the table?
Actually, we generally go through what's in the changes between the proposed and approved and then take amendments from council and put all those on the table for further discussion.
Okay.
I'll be brief. This information is laid out in the change memo, which is in your packet. It's attachment B. I'm just going to go through the major changes that were recognized in that change memo. I won't go through everything. One of the key things, the changes from the proposed to the approved budget that's before you, additional revenue, we're recognizing about $500,000 additional ongoing money from CenturyLink, from the telecom changes that council adopted last fall. There was a litigation, at least in the initial rounds, the city prevailed. And then in additional research into that issue, we had forecast about $3 million of ongoing revenue. We think it's probably going to be closer to $3.5 million of ongoing revenue. So we've recognized that. In terms of the spending, and again, I'll go quickly through these. In the Bureau of Environmental Services, $215,000 for Friends of Trees funding is allocated to BES as general fund. In the Bureau of Planning Sustainability, there's an increase in external revenues that planning is going to recognize, which is going to fund three positions in that bureau. In terms of OMF, there's an increase in the external revenue that will be coming from Multnomah County for business license tax collection, an increase of $200,000. The Office of Neighborhood Involvement, $12,000 is added for Multnomah Youth Commission expenses into ONI's budget. In the Portland Development Commission, on the general fund side, partial additional funding for Alberta and Hillsdale Main Streets, $41,000 was added into the budget, and also restoration of the funding cut for Venture Portland of $34,000. In the Parks Bureau, funding aging services and pass-through funding to Multnomah County is funded at $210,000. That's $70,000 less than the proposed budget. And again, that was part of an overall deal with the county as we added money for the CATSE back into the budget. Also within parks, Buckman Pool was added back using parks levy dollars, as well as Selwood Community Center also using parks levy dollars. There was an increase in Sun Schools passed through to Multnomah County. We increased, again, from the proposed to the approved of $136,000, which is one and a half of the three Sun Schools that were funded through that Multnomah County pass-through. There was also an increase in other parks programs of $435,000 for Forest Park Zone Services and Central Services. And finally, in parks, $15,000 was added for reservoir outreach. In the Police Bureau, there was a reduction in funding for the Service Coordination Team and Illegal Drug Impact District Attorney of $130,000. Again, that was used as an offset to help pay for the additional funding for the CATSE. There was a reduction of $707,000 in bridge funding in the Police Bureau. This is a result of the Retirement Incentive Program, which resulted in more retirements this year, and so the avoidance of those bridge funding costs next year. There was also an addition in the Police Bureau budget of $200,000 in external donations for the Mounted Patrol Unit. Within special appropriations, then, again, there was $634,000 added in for the Crisis Assessment Treatment Center. There's $177,000 added in for Janus Youth Programs, $100,000 added for LifeWorks Now, New Options for Women Program, $26,897 for the Restorative Justice Program at Park Rose, and $75,000 for the Cash Oregon Program. And then finally, in terms of fund and debt management, which is sort of outside of bureaus, it's our catch-all, there were general fund overhead adjustments made to the Property Management License Fund, the Mount Hood Cable and Regulatory Commission, in the amount of $249,617, and an overall reduction in contingency between the mayor's proposed and the approved budget of $487,497. Finally, separate from the budget changes that I've just walked through, there are also some budget note revisions, and those are found towards the end of your packet. It's attachment D. And again, these are shown as changes to what was in the mayor's proposed, so they're underline and strikeout. And so very quickly, there was a change in the East Portland Action Plan decision budget note, and there's no council decision at this time on continuation of funding beyond the fiscal year 2013-14. There are some budget notes for Portland Fire and Rescue additions. One is to research possible staff restructuring to reflect day and night call volume. Another is to explore developing a system that might be able to reimburse fire for some of the health care that is provided to residents of Portland. And finally, a fire and Bureau of Emergency Communications budget note to work with our county partners on additional or new dispatch protocols. There's a budget note related to police and the funding of the LifeWorks New Options for Women program and council's intent to fund that program at $200,000 total. There's $100,000 in the budget of general fund and directing police to use justice assistant grant funds and potentially money from the Sex Buyers Accountability and Diversion program to get that LifeWorks budget up to $200,000 total. There's a budget note directed to water and BES to report back on the progress of the Lou marketing program. And there's a budget note for BES and parks, which is a statement regarding council's intent behind shifting some of the tree planting funding to general fund, and again, leaving that in the Bureau of Environmental Services. So again, those are the major changes between the mayor's proposed and approved budget. I'm happy to take questions on those. And now would also be a time for council to put any additional amendments, if there are any, on the table.
So on the, I had a question. The $200,000 revenue for the friends of the from the Friends of Mounted Patrol being recognized. When is that money actually delivered to us?
Well, the from a budget perspective, what police is doing is recognizing external revenues of $200,000, and I'm not sure the details in terms of when Mounted Patrol. It would need to be delivered during the fiscal year for police to spend it during fiscal year 13-14.
And so, what happens if the $200,000 doesn't come through, or comes through at $125,000.
Sure. Yeah, if the external revenues don't come through, it would be like any external revenue in a bureau. The risk is on the bureau. They would either need to make an offset within their existing budget. They would need to make reductions to the program, or they need to come back to council and ask for additional resources.
Will this be reported to us in bumps, the budget adjustments? Will we be able to track the progress on the $200,000 in private donation?
Yes.
So that will be a specific line item under the police bureau's budget? Or well, if not, I request it to be?
Absolutely, yeah, and we can absolutely include that. Since it's a budget decision, we do report during the bumps on specific budget decisions in bureaus, and so we'll make sure to highlight that in our report to council.
Thank you.
Other questions?
Mayor, is it appropriate to take up some amendments?
It sure is.
I'm going to hand out a copy of a document that I believe OMF circulated last week. This has three amendments, which are different authors on the council, but I think we can start with these. And I will defer to Commissioner Novick or Commissioner Fritz on the first one.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish. The first budget note is regarding the Portland Development Commission, and it states that Council shall hold a public hearing to discuss options before the Portland Development Commission acquires land and or moves forward on a new facility for the mounted patrol horses.
Okay. Is there a second?
I will second. Mayor, may I make a brief comment on
Please.
This? We are technically taking up the budget for the city and the general fund, not the PDC budget to follow. But it is my interpretation of this budget note that it would apply to both PDC and the Police Bureau and would cover money for funding for planning and development of any new facility. And at the point in which that were to occur, it would trigger a public hearing and a chance for the council to weigh in on that issue. Is that your understanding, Mayor?
That's my understanding, and it affects both budgets, but having the budget note here instructs both the Police Bureau and the PDC by putting it in the general fund budget, as far as I'm concerned.
Steve?
Okay. So let's have that motion on the table, and then someone want to talk about budget amendment number two?
Budget amendment number two would add the following budget note to the approved budget for the Bureau of Environmental Services. Council directs the Bureau of Environmental Services to find $134,000 in its existing FY 2013-14 budget to fund the Community Watershed Stewardship Program.
Second.
Any discussion about that one? That one on the table. And then,
Mayor, I have a third amendment.
Please.
And this would be a budget note to the approved budget, business license tax. Per resolution 36473, the city has a goal of increasing the business license tax owners' compensation deduction to $125,000. For tax year 2014, Council's intent is to increase the owners' compensation deduction to at least $100,000. The City Budget Office is directed to identify potential options to pay for this increase, including the use of ongoing revenues above forecast, efficiencies and other savings from the span of control study, administrative process review, or other process improvements greater than the savings already assumed in the budget, or the identification of spending offsets. The CBO will present options to Council in FY 2013-2014 fall budget monitoring process.
Second.
Any further discussion of those three? So all the amendments are therefore on the table, the ones that were in the Appendix D package and these three additions. Are there any other amendments? Okay, and therefore we will open the public hearing.
Actually, we need a vote on each one of these.
Vote on the amendments to get them into the proposed
correct.
Budget. Okay,
correct.
So let's take a motion. I'm sorry, let's take a vote on the Appendix D amendments first.
Actually, those are already in.
We don't have to do that. Just
you don't have to
just
do that.
One, two, and three.
Yeah, just on these
okay.
One, two, and three, and then you will take a vote after the amendments to the change memo are made. You will take a vote on the entire package to put that on the table, and then we'll have public testimony.
Okay, so
Mayor, can I just
yes,
make
please.
A suggestion? Since we'll be taking testimony on the whole package, could we encourage the sponsor to just say two things about each of these amendments so the public understands before we take testimony?
Please.
As the vote occurs.
Yep. So let's take a roll call first on proposal budget amendment number one.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Well, this amendment requires a public hearing before we move to spend between $2 and $12.5 million on a new facility for the mounted patrol. The mayor's proposed budget does continue the mounted patrol. That obviously needs to be there needs to be further discussion before we move to spend taxpayers' money on a new facility. Aye.
Harrington? Hales.
I support this amendment. I think if you look at the success story of how the council first got a proposal from the Police Bureau for a very expensive training facility and then pushed the question and everyone sharpened their pencils and came up with a much less expensive version of that project, I hope we can replicate that story here. Aye. Okay. Proposed budget amendment number 2. Roll call, please.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
I think I'll vote no on this one.
Novick?
We heard strong support for the Community Watershed Stewardship Program in our last budget hearing. It's a program, it's an award-winning program that's very consistent with the Bureau's watershed protection mission, and I'm pleased to see this budget note come before the council. Aye.
Fritz?
This program, I learned a lot about it in the course of the budget hearings, and it does promote equity and inclusion of folks who have historically been not involved in community watershed stewardship projects, and so I'm very happy to vote aye.
Hales.
Aye. Approved. Okay. Number 3.
Fish.
Mayor and colleagues, in 2007, I believe, the council made a commitment to raise the business owner's compensation deduction over time to $125,000. The triggers which were in that resolution anticipated that we would have blue skies and therefore the funds to cover the offset. As you know, we entered into the worst recession in our lifetime, and therefore there were no funds available. But the principle that was adopted by the council back in 2007 was that since small businesses are the backbone of our local economy, nearly 60% of our businesses have 50 or fewer employees, and because this is a targeted way in which we can help them free up additional resources to buy equipment and to expand payrolls, that we ought to, over time, aspire to get to $125,000. That's been the official policy. What this amendment does is direct the budget office to come back in the fall with a range of options to allow us to go from the current level, which is about $89,000 and change, to $100,000, and to present those options to council with a commitment that for tax year 2014, because as I'm reminded, these things operate by tax year, not fiscal year, it is our intent as a council to go to at least $100,000 and therefore make another down payment on a commitment this council previously made, a prior council made. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I think I support the intent, the overall intent the council adopted in 2007 to ultimately get to $125,000. I'm not comfortable sort of a priori saying we're going to do this until I know what the revenue picture looks like in the fall. I think this amendment is sort of committing us before we know what the financial picture or what other any savings we may gain from span of control review, administrative process, et cetera. So I will respectfully vote no on this.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz.
Well, Commissioner Fish and I have worked on this, and I want to state my intent that I am hopeful we get to the full $125,000 by the time I leave office in 3 years, 7 months, and 2 days. Aye.
Hales.
But who's counting? Aye. Okay, now we'll take a motion.
At this point, a motion and a vote. And again, what this vote is not to approve the budget. It is to put all of the changes that were in the change memo, as well as these recent amendments, on the table for discussion.
Mayor, I move all the amendments.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Further discussion? Roll call.
Fish.
Andrew, this is one of two opportunities we get to thank you and your team for all the work in assembling this and helping us. And I'll have something more to say about the Independent Budget Office later, but thanks for your superb work. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay. Thank you, staff. And now we'll open the public hearing on the budget, the proposed budget as amended.
I have three people, Christine Yoon, Scott Fogarty, and Jenny Bettle-Stiles.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Christine. You're on first.
Okay, Christine Yoon. On behalf of the Buckman Pool Heroes, the Buckman Bathing Beauties, and the growing inner Southeast community, I want to thank you for saving important community resources in this budget, particularly Buckman Sun School and Buckman Pool. I also want to thank you for not making us do this again next year. The communities at Sun School and Buckman Pool are diverse. They espouse walkable, bikeable neighborhoods, and they have been and are great supporters of the city's parks programs. I just want to remind you that it's crucial to maintain the support in the coming years as we navigate towards a parks bond, which will provide the funding for a long-awaited Washington High Community Center. So thank you very much, and I get to go swim in peace for 2 years.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor and Council members. I may be a little confused in the process here, so what I have to say may not have any bearing on this budget. But I'm asking you
to... name in the record, Scott.
Pardon me?
Just put your name in the record.
Oh, Scott Fogarty, Friends of Trees Executive Director. I am here to ask you for full funding of our contract agreement with the City of Portland to plant and care for street trees as part of our Great Green Initiative. I encourage you to restore our annual budget to the amount of $1.1 million as stated in our contract agreement. As I understand, we are funded at 85% of this level through the Bureau of Environmental Services, but I am unclear as to whether that is actually true or not. Because positions within BES were cut that manage this contract, and also that recruit, train, and manage canvassers, who, by the way, go door-to-door in some of our lowest canopy-covered neighborhoods, which also happen to be our lowest income historically and highest minority communities, Friends of Trees will have to take on the cost of these activities. And suffice to say, less trees will be planted with less volunteers in the most underserved communities in our city. Additionally, Friends of Trees will not be able to recruit, hire, and train youth from these communities who are valuable to the work that we do. They improve their life skills while giving back to their neighborhoods. The past year, Friends of Trees recruited, trained, and planted with over 4,000 volunteers in our city who gave an average of 4 hours each at an approximate value of $350,000. And I think Jenny has better statistics on that. For this additional investment of $200,000, Friends of Trees will have a much better chance of meeting the targets laid out in our contract with the city. We look at this coming year as an opportunity to establish a firm relationship with Portland Parks and Recreation, if that's where our program is to end up. And we are excited about the opportunity to establish and codify the relationship. And it's our hope that this coming year we'll see clearly the progress on how trees and green infrastructure are managed over time and from which bureau, as they are laid out in the Urban Forestry Management Plan. So I think now is the time to strengthen our collective resolve to establish long-term sustainable programs to grow a healthy community for generations to come. We can do this by adequately funding this necessary community program and upholding the letter of our contract. And we appreciate the investment that you all have made in our organization and the programs that we run. And we appreciate your time and leadership in this manner. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor, City Council. My name is Jenny Bedell Stiles. I'm the Volunteer and Outreach Program Specialist with Friends of Trees. And I am here to report back to you on some of our volunteer numbers over the last several years that this contract has allowed us to work with such a wide diversity of people. But first, before that, this is my eighth year working in the Portland nonprofit community, my second with Friends of Trees. And I wanted to let you know that Friends of Trees has a very unique model that we work with volunteers. We work with the community. I've always been in the outreach, in the organizing, in the campaign running side of nonprofit work. And it was what this was what attracted me to getting to work with Friends of Trees was how this organization truly values volunteer work and volunteer commitment to this cause. It's not a throwaway concept with Friends of Trees. Volunteers aren't just free labor. It's at the very core of what our mission is. And I see us as a community building group that plants trees in order to build community. So getting back to those numbers, in 2010, 2011, I'm just going to go back 3 years here. We could go back further than that, but I don't want to bore you too much. I think these numbers speak for themselves. They are always on the up and up. 2010-2011, we had just over 30,000 volunteer hours for a total of 5,500 moments. So these were individual occurrences where someone came out and got and we got to work with them. Not necessarily individuals, but singular times that someone volunteered. 2011-2012, that was 35,000 hours and just over 7,000 moments. And this last year, we have we've still been increasing. The numbers are actually being crunched this week, but we're up to 37,000 hours. And as Scott mentioned, we haven't crunched all of the moments yet or the individuals. It's a little more complicated, but we are over 4,000 individuals. And the intentional increases made with our volunteer teams have happened outside of Portland's inner core neighborhoods, which I think is very, very notable. These are also the places where we have the most tree planting potential and where we need the most help to plant these trees. And so we've been intentionally recruiting from other neighborhoods outside of, you know, inner southeast Portland where I grew up. So thank you, councilors, for your time. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Thanks for coming.
We have one more request. Joe Walsh.
My name is Joe Walsh, and I represent Individuals for Justice, and on this issue also Oregon Progressive Party. I would like to put in a plug for your security people. My understanding is that under the contract, you are laying off a number of your security people. I think most of you know that this argument being presented by me is very unusual. I am not a big fan of the police or security people. However, when you're right, you're right. And your security people here are very good, and they protect you. You have no metal detectors in this building. This building is very vulnerable to attack. You have one man sitting in the front door. His job, in my view, is to scream if something happens and to alert everybody else. And then your security people could go into action and save your asses. Because that's what it comes down to. And you are laying them off. You're saving things like horses. You're laying off human beings. And that's our contention. Find the money and stop the layoffs. These are human beings. This is a tragedy to them, a big tragedy. And for me to speak on security people is really unusual. But they were very professional, and I've come into contact with them on different levels, sometimes being escorted out of the council. But they've always treated me gently, and they've always treated me with professionalism, and I like them. So I'm here to say to you, rethink what you're doing for two reasons. Number one, they're human beings, and number two, it's your security and mine. When I come to this council, I want to feel safe. Kind of feel safe now. Don't like it when the police come in with their guns, and I've already said that to you. Please rethink your position on your security, people. Thank you.
Thank you. Morning.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I just have a few comments on the mounted patrol. I believe it is a tradition. I absolutely agree to keep the mounted patrol. I think it is something that is needed, and it improves the city. The only issue that I guess I have pertaining to the mounted patrol is of course, costs, expenses. And as you know, I brought up the issue on Centennial Mills, you know, the $7 million property with another $12 million dropped into it, approximately $20-plus million, which would have been the budget shortfall, technically, all into one property, currently being leased at $1 a year. So basically, yeah, I have a problem with that being done. And one of the reasons I do is that if you want to go and board a horse somewhere, it's only going to cost you $300 to $400 a month, and they'll actually feed it twice, which is full service. You have 10 horses times 400, that's $40,000 a year, total cost. Now, you want to spend all this other money to relocate them and put them in a nice facility? I say, and I have nothing against the Mounted Patrol, I think they're great, but I say fund it toward the homeless. I say fund it toward the people that really need it. We can find other alternatives for the horses. They can still be there. They can still function. They have trailers that can bring them out to locations. Everything is fine. We've got too many people sleeping out on the sidewalks, under the bridges, in the doorways, that the people of this city can show the greatest improvement to this city. And that's where the dollars need to go first. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Marianne.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Marianne Schwab. I've submitted my information to you online because there's no way I can read that much in 3 minutes. So I will try to cover three top points. I am very, very concerned about the transparency of some of the things that go on in City Council, especially when reading the auditor's report regarding the Buckman Pool. Private citizens should have a trust with who we hire to track those budget levy funds. And I would like to have built in somewhere in this building that there is a trust that the employees will either report it to the commissioner, and if the commissioner's kind of waving at the flag in the wind and they don't trust him, whatever they share to their commissioner, they share with the city auditor, an ombudsman, and I still don't know what the ombudsman does in the city. If you're going to cut any funding, that would be it. Because any time a developer challenges a property line or we have an issue with the infill housing, that developer and that ombudsman tells us, okay, take it to court. Who among us have $30,000 to hire an attorney? These are the kinds of issues that I would like to see open. I am aware that you passed the guidelines in August 4th of 2010 about the general principles for public involvement, and that's a good start. But I think we need a little more enforcement here. The fact that the Buckman Heroes, Mark Bartlett, there's a long list, have done all this work to keep this little tiny pool open is simply egregious. These dollars, I'm imploring all of you, once you approve this budget, it's solid. No longer will we see funds, $4 million, $5 million transferred from one city bureau outside the city. We need to have a check and counter check. And where the TSCC fits in with all the bonds and levies we keep approving, I don't really know who enforces that we are, in fact, up to par with those. We need to have a little double check. So it's just kind of a little picks and pans. And appreciate the work that you've done. I'm very grateful that the Needles Exchange is in place. I'm very grateful that the SUNS program is now a core value for the city. And I'm really pleased that the Buckman Pool is open. And we talk about intent, Commissioner Fish. There was an intent in that levy that that pool would remain open until we finished the construction, open to the public for 7 inner southeast neighborhoods, and yes, those on the west side can come across, until that is open. We've been at this since 1980, trying to get a recreation center to meet the needs of the inner southeast. We're at that threshold. We've got some complex issues coming down with the Washington High School building, and I would readdress, please, to get your WAML committee, advisory committee, back on board, readdress what's going on in that building. 120,000 square feet commercial, what that's going to do to Buckman. I want to make sure that what happens to that 7.61 acres, including the RH facing Morrison, is tracked. And that is the heart of our inner southeast neighborhood. It's all tied to parks. We need community gardens. The 1.66 acres facing Morrison Street would be a great open space for open play and gardens. We need to double check on all this infill. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Anyone else?
That's all who signed up.
So maybe we could bring Andrew and Jeremy and perhaps Dean Marriott back up just to answer Scott Fogarty's question about where we've ended up with the Friends of Trees contract, general fund going to BES, staff support. Could you maybe address those questions, clarify where we are?
Good morning, Mayor, members of the council. Dean Marriott, Environmental Services. As Scott pointed out, he has a lot of questions. The situation has been quite fluid, of course, so we have not had a chance to sit down and talk with him, as we would with any contractor, about changes that would be coming in the amount in the contract or the scope of work. That's the first thing we'll do as soon as you tell me that the decisions are final and we know exactly what we're going to get. I want to just reassure Scott that we appreciate that if we end up with less money than we had in the past, we'll renegotiate the contract, change our expectations. We're not expecting him to plant the same number of trees for less money. He will still continue, and as any contractor will, continue to have the support of the Bureau in assisting with the retention and training of canvassers and the outreach and so forth. So we're not asking them to step into our shoes and do that kind of work. Just a moment of context. In the last 5 years, we have spent over $4 million with Friends of Trees to plant trees. It's a great relationship. They do wonderful work. I've been out on at least two occasions with them to do work with them, and I see the kind of community building that they described for you today, as I know many of you have done that work as well. We look forward to that continued strong relationship with them. We look forward to continuing to plant trees in Portland. This adjustment would be, as Scott indicated, about 85% funding for them. That sounds about right to me based on what I understand. So we will make it work. We may end up planting a few less trees next year than we had planned on, but we will still be in the tree planting business.
So the staff support, the canvasser support, that capability still exists in the Bureau?
We will still be providing staff support and canvassing support, yes.
Okay, good. Other questions for Dean or Andrew?
Well, I had some questions for Andrew, not for Dean. But so, Andrew.
Thanks, Dean.
What is the general fund for the current fiscal year we're in, and what is the general fund and the budget we're about to adopt?
Those are great questions.
Total general fund for the budget we're about to adopt is about $493 million. The one that we're currently in, I'm trying to think of the most up-to-date.
I believe we started the year at $500 million, but
there's been some revisions.
Yeah.
So cash to cash, we're down $7 million.
So we have $500 million in the current fiscal year and $493 in the proposed.
$500 million at the adopted. There's been some adjustments throughout the year, but it was $5 million at the
adopted. Yeah, now it's worth pointing out, though, that's total general fund, which includes both general fund discretionary as well as other revenue that goes into the general fund. These would be fees collected by, you know, parks, for instance, at the community center. So those total numbers fluctuate often.
Our soon-to-be-adopted general fund is $7 million less than
Dance a little bit here while Jeremy looks up the numbers.
While he's looking that up, you can. I'm also curious about what's happening with security. The question Joe Walsh asked, I've heard about it. I don't quite understand it. And
let's come back to this in just a second because I think we've got the total.
The revised general fund as of the revised for the proposed budget was $502 million total.
And the new
for the current year we're in.
For the current year, right?
Right.
502. Okay.
But again, the point I wanted to make there was that's total general fund, and sometimes that total general fund number doesn't necessarily mirror what's going on in general fund discretionary, because again, you know, for instance, fees could go up or down, and other things, you know, and sometimes those programs and bureaus are also scalable, so it doesn't necessarily reflect. Do we have the general fund discretionary?
I think the discretionary now is going to be about $397 million for the approved, and it was $413 for the revised. $413 million.
$413 in the current fiscal year.
Correct.
That's still only
what
cuttings.
Is it, 390?
I think it's going to be right around 397, under 397.
So that's still only cutting $16 million. How are we balancing the budget?
Well, that's right, because what this doesn't reflect is the current appropriation levels include inflation and other cost growth. So, again, we've seen large increases in, say, our PERS costs this year, other personnel costs. And so, again, when Josh Harwood, city economist, does the forecast, he looks at what it would cost to provide the same current service level in the next year. That's where we'd come up with the $21.5 million shortfall.
Right, but we're not cutting that much.
Well, right, and in order to bridge that $21.5 million shortfall, again, we had $500,000 of new revenue from CenturyLink. There are savings from the span of control analysis that's going to be done, as well as some administrative process review. We've captured PERS savings as well that sort of offset that number down. And then total program cuts then are less than that. But I want to caution you, the numbers Jeremy's giving in terms of comparing revised budget for the current year to what the approved budget's going to be if you approve this budget, that is not the same number or conversation in terms of what we have to cut in order to balance over the next 5 years.
And the PERS savings, in light of the governor signing legislation, so those are, we can bank on those, the numbers we're using for PERS savings?
Yeah, what we've captured there is, and again, what we don't know yet, even after the governor signed Senate Bill 822, we have not received our new PERS rates from PERS, nor will we receive them for some time yet. They need to work through all those issues. There are also additional PERS changes that might happen at the legislature this year. So what we've done is we've banked on 80% of what our cost increase was this year in PERS and captured that $3 million. As of PERS savings.
So we're estimating that the PERS savings will be 80% of what we're currently paying for PERS.
Well, and
that we'll be paying, I'm sorry, we'll be paying 80% of what we're
They're capturing 80% of the potential reduction.
Right. Right. The goal of what the legislature's goal was to reduce the cost increases that all local governments were facing in state government this year. So what because we don't have those new rates, we know that there's going to be savings, and we know that savings will be significant. We won't know exactly what that savings is until sometime, I think it's July or August, when we'll get those new PERS rates. So what we've done is we've essentially assumed 80% of the cost increase as savings. We're hoping it is a conservative number. The actual savings will probably be a little bit higher than that, but we won't actually know.
Andrew,
that
on that point, though, because Commissioner Saltzman's, I think, operative word was, can we bank on it? And I think it is important to note that while we're taking a conservative approach at 80%, there's one other factor beyond our control, and that is whether there's a legal challenge to any of the actions taken by the legislature and how that might affect all local governments. So there is that at least out there, which I think means we can't quite say we're banking it, but we're making some assumptions.
Yeah, Commissioner, that's exactly right. I think it's worth pointing out, though, when it comes to PERS, we will get our new rates from the state, what our PERS rates are. That is the rate that we will pay for 2 years. If there's litigation against those PERS changes and we lose that litigation and those PERS changes are overturned, we will not have to pay that money back right away. It will change our future year rate assumptions in the out years. Those rate assumptions will be higher. One of the things we did, again, in order to forecast conservatively is we assumed, again, 80% of the PERS savings now. We also did not change those out year PERS rates. Which is sort of, again, reflective of that litigation risk. So it is possible, one, that the savings will be a little bit higher than what we anticipated, and if all the lawsuits essentially if the PERS savings are determined to be legal, there might actually be some out-year savings as well. We won't capture that until we know for sure.
Thank you.
Other questions?
So security, yeah. What are the cuts to security?
So there are reductions, and actually I'm not the best person to speak to the specifics of those. There are reductions in terms of the city's contract with our security provider, and I'm not sure if anyone from OMF is here who might be able to talk about those
specifics. I can summarize what's in the OMF proposal, which is to continue to have two people on duty during work hours and beyond in City Hall, but reconfigure on the ground floor so that we don't have to have multiple people on the ground floor. Make some other changes in the system in terms of the panic buttons and other equipment that improves the efficacy of having people watching the building, and also making some changes in where the monitors are located. So there, you know, it's a reconfiguration of what we do on the ground floor of this building, and on the ground floor of the Portland building, and a reduction in the total number of people on duty during work hours.
What's the total cut in staff?
Gail, I don't know if you know that number. Yeah.
So I'm concerned about that. And is it two people in each of the Portland building and City Hall, or one in each?
I believe it's a reduction of one in each building. Right?
And what about staff after hours and on weekends?
The answer is, I don't know if Gail, you want to come up and if you can reconstruct that, or maybe we need Bryant to come over and walk through that.
Good morning. For the record, Gail Shibley, the mayor's office. I don't have the specifics off the top of my head. This was a continuing discussion that we've been having with the Office of Management and Finance to make some changes, as the mayor said, to the configuration of security, both in the City Hall as well as the